blah, blah. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Fleabag Season 1, Episode 5.
I have not tried to kill her. And I am nursing her back to health with healthy things like alcohol. That sounded bad. Do you want to explain why you sound the way you do?
Sure. Well, I just got done with a long but very good run of Legally Blonde the Musical.
Yay!
A lot of screaming. Good screaming. And,
oh my god, you guys. It was awesome.
And a lot of singing. And then afterwards, some of the cast went out and we screamed more. And so my voice is extremely tired and I'm exhausted.
Basically, that's it. So obviously I've not tried to kill her and it was all good things. So that's good. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show, Fleabag. If you've been listening to our podcast about this, you'll get the idea that, hey, maybe it's worthwhile to keep watching this. We do think that it is. Yeah. And also that we are having something to drink. We're having the same thing to drink.
Mm-hmm. But slightly different. We are having, I actually had this for the first time this past weekend when my roommate Sophie, shout out to Sophie, came down to see the show and we had Aperol spritzes.
Yeah, because I had it after the opening night and I'd never had one. It's kind of embarrassing.
I hadn't had one either.
Well, I'm a drinks person. It's an Italian standard. Everybody drinks them all the time and for no good reason other than I fear bitters.
I had not had extra sweetness. It's not quite as bad. But yeah, that aftertaste of bitterness just always hits. And I don't mind it. Is it going to be the first thing I order at a bar? No. But because I don't know how bitter they're going to make it.
Yeah. So I added some simple syrup to yours. Mm-hmm. I add a little bit of orange soda to mine. Honestly, I think the perfect answer of something to add that would be the right amount of sweet for this would be Orangina, which is the Italian orange soda.
I agree.
Because it's, our crush orange soda is a little too sweet maybe, but I didn't add too much. It's not bad.
No, I think yours is good too. And you added a little bit of simple syrup to mine, so it's a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad on its own, but at the same time, whatever. Y'all, as an audience, should also be very excited that I actually have garnish. There is an actual orange slice in here.
I've been ripping and roaring for you.
All about it. Also ripping and roaring is episode 5, Fleabag. So this is, I think I mentioned at the end of episode 4 that the show was finally getting good. And I wanted to mention what it was about it. That kind of made me feel like that episode is where it turns the corner. And I think it's the self-awareness.
I agree.
And the irony of you go on a retreat to become self-aware. And she goes there with this whole ironic everything, approach to everything about it. And yet she comes away with something, whether she wanted to or not, is an irony of itself. So it's multi-layered.
It wasn't really from the actual thing.
From the retreat. It
was from her relationship with her sister and her talk with the banker guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You get it where you get it.
And fair enough.
It's kind of the way it goes.
So at the beginning of episode 5, Fleabag is getting her breasts checked out by a doctor because of breast cancer running in her family. And her mother died of breast cancer. So father has her and her sister do yearly checkups, which you should be doing anyway with mammograms.
True.
But
especially if you have history.
Exactly. And so he mentions that in passing that he checked out her sister this morning, not in that way, but you know what I mean? And
the doctor does.
And Fleabag's really happy to hear that. And she asks how she is. Did she look good? Because she hasn't been able to get in contact with her.
She also makes weird flirty comments with the doctor, like, oh, it must be more fun to do her because she's got bigger breasts, you know, that kind of thing. And she's very, you know, like, oh, this must be such a fun job for you. And the doctor's kind of like, The only thing I care about is whether you're dying. So, just stop. And she feels it. You can tell that she shuts up, but at the same time, there's almost this sense of, well, you're no fun. She's still got that very juvenile approach to just about everything. Next, we see Fleabag running up to meet Claire, and they're going to their quote unquote mom's memorial lunch, which I guess, and I always call her Olivia Colman. Does she have a name?
Godmother.
Godmother, whatever. I'm going to call her Olivia Colman. They host, she and the father host this lunch, I guess, annually in honor of the mother, but really just in honor of Olivia Colman.
Well, it is supposed to be in honor of the mother. It makes it seem, well, at least they make it seem like it's really awkward that the godmother is there at all.
Yeah, and yet it's clear that she's been there before. And the way we know that is through that internal monologue that Fleabag is having about, oh, this is my favorite part. Like, who's going to talk first? And how many compliments do we have to give to Olivia Colman, the artist, and her hair or her pillow or whatever. But before they even get in the house, Claire has brought flowers, her mother's favorite flowers, and they were flowers for her father. And for whatever reason, Olivia Colman's like, oh, isn't that nice? And leaves them on the front step.
Like she's putting them in a place of honor.
Except that she's clearly not.
She's clearly just throwing them away.
Yeah, and it's just vile.
On top of that, in the back, if their father's in the backyard chopping down a tree that's been there their entire lives, and
Because the cat's trying to escape.
the cat's trying to escape by like using the tree to hop over a fence. And
Go Kitty.
yeah, go kitty. It's a beautiful Persian cat.
Oh, yeah, he's, I think Burmese actually. It's
I have
got the
no idea.
Siamese points. Oh,
Beautiful,
gorgeous
beautiful
animal.
cat. And so, oh yeah, it's not Persian,
Well, it
but
is. It's fluffy like a
very
Persian, so it's a
fluffy.
Burmese, I think.
Either way, they are very awkwardly just kind of sitting there, and as you said, they're seeing who's going to break the silence first, and so. Fleabag's dad comes. Fleabag mentions that she has invited a new guy to lunch, and he'll be coming later. Their dad comes in again. He does not know how to talk to his daughters. He says, "You are my daughters," and then that's it. And
He's rendered so inarticulate by his daughters, and he's like gonna give a speech, but he can't even get a sentence out. It's really sad.
another funny thing is, it's funny seeing the little things that Olivia Colman's character, the godmother, does to undermine Fleabag. Because we're not really supposed to like Fleabag, but we're also not supposed to like the godmother. And so the godmother, for example, when they're handing her their coats, Fleabag gives Olivia Colman her coat, and she's like, "Oh, this is nice." And then she's like, "Oh, thank you, a compliment." And then Claire hands her coat, and then it's just like, "Oh, this is beautiful." It's like, okay,
Yeah,
I see how it is. And then
yeah.
also, Olivia Colman didn't even put out a glass for Fleabag.
Oh, I forgot your glass. Yeah, she's such a, and it's so passive aggressively bitchy.
Yeah, it's not like outwardly like, "Oh, you don't get a glass," or whatever. It's just, "Oh, we forgot about you because you're not relevant enough,
Or
and
part of
you're not
what's funny
supposed
about
to
this
be."
to me, from the glass perspective, is they had expected Claire and her husband Martin was supposed to be there. Like, you should have, at a minimum, have had four glasses out. So, like, it's.
Well, they also thought that, well, either way, yeah, they should have had at least four, but yeah,
I'm
so.
going to correct
While
myself, by the way. It's a Balinese cat, not Burmese. So now I know everything.
now you know everything.
Because I almost knew everything before.
While their dad says some inarticulate words about their mother, godmother's popping champagne.
Yeah, like she interrupts. Oh, don't mind me. Don't mind me.
She's so happy their mother's dead. They're telling stories about their mom and how she would like get when they were younger, do voices for little animals
I
and
don't know anything about doing that. I don't know what you're talking about.
but it's very sweet and endearing. And then of course the godmother has to be like, oh, my ex used to do voices too. It's like, what?
It's all funny.
That's not a
Before we broke up.
yeah.
And it's kind of like you almost get the sense that she doesn't believe in fun. What are we talking about?
I
I
don't know what her
don't
deal is, but Fleabag, the grandmother and dad leave the room. Fleabag knows his Claire's new hairstyle. She essentially did two braids, Dutch braids, into her hair, and
Fleabag assumes that it's because she's got her period or she's very upset about something or both, because I guess this is something she does. And so there's a flashback to like all the other, not all of them, but another experiment that Claire did while she was having her period, which
and essentially a blue morph suit.
it's horrible.
And it's really terrible. And I mean, she's a gorgeous woman, but it
Yeah.
is a terrible look. Their mom used to call it Claire's monthly confidence crisis. That's really PMT.
Yeah. Or what we call PMS
Yeah.
in the States. So there
I
you
suppose they call it trauma, but they're very
go.
dramatic.
They are very dramatic.
Anyway,
It's definitely
it's just syndrome here.
a thing.
Claire
Syndrome.
brought the stolen statue for Fleabag to put back, and so they go to the back to the room where it was, and Fleabag puts it on the floor, so hopefully they find it and stop looking for it.
And Olivia Colman shows up and she's like, oh, you wanted a preview. Let's go back downstairs. She's just very ugly about it.
Preview
Like,
of her art, it's her art room.
right. And they go back down. She sends Fleabag back downstairs to torture her father. And so she makes her father jump. And they have a weird, awkward conversation where he ends up getting canapes on the floor. And they have a cute moment because he wants to clean them up before Olivia Colman knows about it, because he's afraid she's going to find out. And Fleabag's like, oh, 5 second rule. And he says he's not, I don't believe in that. And then he pops one in his mouth and they have a nice giggle about it. And of course, Olivia Colman walks in and looks at them like, oh.
Well, there's another element to this of Fleabag mentioning her cafe lease is up, and she guesses she'll just have to accept that it's gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, we would give you money, but we don't have any money right now. And then she looks at a picture of a cottage and she's like, oh, what's that? And then he's like, oh, the cottage we just bought in France.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we don't have any money. And I gotta wonder, like, where did all the money come from? I guess she's a
I'm not
very
sure.
famous artist. I don't
Good to
know.
know.
But I'm talking about Olivia Colman being the famous artist. But at this point, Fleabag's date, which is Ass Man, shows up. And he is, of course, beautiful. Olivia
He is
Colman's like
really handsome.
openly flirting with him.
Yeah.
And
And she
they,
passes it off as just artistic.
yeah, of her artistic interest in his lovely face. But then they segue into what the subject of her exhibition will be, which is apparently sex, and not just any sex, her personal sex journey, including molds of their father's penis and pictures Olivia Colman has taken of her own body for the last 30 years, because everyone should be comfortable with my body. It's like,
Hilarious.
what on earth? What kind of ego runs around like that? I
It's
don't
that funny.
understand it.
It's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And we see periodically throughout this, I don't know if we mentioned, but the Balinese cat is trying to escape. Like
Yes.
they cut to that a couple of times during this episode, and it's really very funny.
Yeah, she talks about the power of sex, and then we get another flash of the same flash of unbuckling pants that we
The
got from the
Fleabag
last,
memory.
yeah, that we got from the last episode. But we are not going there yet.
No.
But Fleabag mentions the out of whatever the fuck she calls her brain, she mentions
Claire's
because
promotion.
Claire told her beforehand not to mention the promotion, but she does. And Claire says the reason why she's not going to take it is because of her broken sister and weird stepson.
Yeah, well, that just doesn't put any pressure on Fleabag to get her shit together.
Fleabag beats herself up in the bathroom for what she did, because she does feel bad that her impulse is to still destruct. And she hates that she took it out on Claire, and she has this flashback of her being upset with about a fight with Claire and talking to Boo about it and how she really wishes that she could just yell at herself. And so Boo dresses up in her clothes and lets her let out all of her frustrations. And basically she's just like, you need to get your shit together. Like the stuff that she is aware of the fact that her life is self-destructing, but she's just not doing anything about it. And she's upset with herself for not doing anything about it. But then she's the ongoing cycle of like, you're not doing something about it, and you're gonna continue to get mad until you do something.
It's just bad.
But we all get in some we all get in those little shame spirals of like, oh, I should be doing something, but I'm not.
So,
Hers are just more severe.
the kitty joins Fleabag in the bathroom, and she lets the cat out the window, which I think is hilarious.
Good for the cat.
Fleabag goes back into the dining room, and Ass Guy is praising Olivia Colman, and then Olivia Colman starts talking about Boo and how Boo killed herself, and Fleabag's like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!" Right?
Well, she also kind of like belittles it by calling it, oh, your little friend died, suicide, she killed herself. And then Fleabag keeps trying to like cover it up. It's like it was an accident. And she gets really upset. And it was actually at this point that Claire leaves the table, which is an interesting moment because you'd expect it to be the other way around, that after the whole outburst about the promotion, Claire would leave the table instead of Fleabag, but it's actually flipped. But we see why in a minute.
Fleabag goes and smokes in the bathroom, but she doesn't like really make the smoke go out the window. I think that's hilarious.
That's very funny.
But when Fleabag goes to leave, like she's at the front door.
Oh, I'm sorry. Also, Godmother brings up maybe you should just let the cafe go, which is something Fleabag was saying earlier to her dad. But now that the Godmother said it,
It's
she's
like,
like, well,
fuck
fuck
you.
you. And you know what? Fair enough. But she has this flashback of her and Boo after they had first signed the lease, and they're
No,
essentially
we're
like
never gonna let it go. This is
never
our
letting it go.
thing. Blah blah blah.
And then the godmother, as like Fleabag is getting ready to leave, mentions the sculpture turning up, and she's like, oh, I guess you just overlooked it.
And then she does this passive aggressive thing, Olivia Colman does, and she's kind of like, oh, your father and I were talking about how you're so much like your mother when you drink. And Fleabag, for reasons that make no sense to me, shoves her. And Olivia Colman slaps her like really hard, like leaving a mark on her face kind of thing.
Yeah, I can understand her being upset because I think that just it was little things throughout the day that really just pile up, you know? And it being a comment about her mother coming out of her, because I think that it's interesting that the only things that we hear from the godmother about their mother is, oh yeah, she was great, whatever, and trying to minimize the death and all of that stuff because.
This dinner, she talks about how, oh, well, how Olivia Colman knew the mother. She's explaining it to Ass Guy. And oh, I knew her. We were friends. But they broke up.
And then
And
Fleabag has to correct it like she died.
then we just became closer friends. And it's kind of like, that's not a thing. That is not a thing. But she's also like,
Her saying they split up instead of, oh, she
she
died
died.
is
Like, this is
insane.
supposed to be your best friend that died from breast cancer
That's insane.
years ago.
This is still kind of fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh for
So shut the
everybody,
fuck
or it
up.
should be.
And so I think the fact that her mother's being referred to by her godmother in the first place tipped her, like pissed her off. And so she shoves her. And then Olivia Colman slaps her because she just hates her.
And so the dad sees the slap, but apparently still like mad at Fleabag about it. Like,
I think at
okay.
this point he has very little faith in her and her ability to keep her opinions to herself, and so he just assumes, like most people do, that she deserved it.
Yeah,
And
somehow.
I mean, given her track record, I'm not going to deny that she does have bad tendencies in that way, but that's still your daughter. And if you're whatever the fuck you are with this woman, partner, if your partner
Sex
is
slave. You are
regardless.
her sex slave at this point.
Regardless of your relationship with your partner, You should, if you see your partner slapping your child, like seemingly unprovoked, but even if it is provoked,
Right.
what the fuck is wrong with you for not stepping up for your
And
kid?
saying, hey, what is going on here?
You should
Like
never do that.
inquiring something.
Slapping you across the face, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Leaving it hard enough to leave a mark,
It's insanity.
it's
So
insane. I hate him. I hate him.
I do too. So Claire comes in, she's like, we're leaving. And they walk outside, and Asghai is kissing Olivia Coleman. It's just too many kisses.
Not,
It's
no,
on the cheek,
it's
but
on the
it's like
cheek.
it's
It's
too
not like they're
many.
making
And then
out.
he tells Fleabag, oh, your family's so normal, it's so great. And invites Fleabag to stay with him that night. And he goes to get his motor on his motorcycle or whatever. And Claire wants to says that she's gonna give Fleabag money.
She's
She's
gonna leave
gonna
Martin.
leave Martin, she's gonna go to Finland, and she stole the statue
I
back.
love that so much.
It is so great. And Fleabag's like, that's the coolest thing you've ever done. And Claire's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
then they hug.
And they hug, and it's sweet. And the cat runs away as Fleabag rides off. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. So, what were your best parts of this episode?
Claire, for sure.
Yeah.
I love that she gets into an emotional confidence crisis every period. I find that
We
very
all did on
funny.
some level. It's like, should I cut all my hair off?
Yeah, should I
You
get bangs? It's like, no.
know?
I love Claire, and I love her resolution to. I think that given the fact that she is in a marriage and has a stepson, she should keep that under consideration when making big life-altering decisions like this. But if it's not a happy marriage, you need to consider what's best for you. And I mean, she's now considering it, and she wants to go after what she really, really wants, which is this Finland promotion. And so she's making all these choices to better her life. And is it selfish? Yes. But I honestly think Claire deserves it. And
Based on what we know about her. I mean, we
based on
don't
what
know
we know, we
everything,
don't know everything
obviously.
about their marriage, but she seems to think now that she deserves it too. And that's
Well,
what
Martin
matters.
clearly is evil, so
We hate Martin.
yeah,
But,
so
and he also tried to kiss Fleabag. Absolutely not.
yeah.
But her also wanting to help Fleabag because she realizes how much that cafe means to her. And
Yeah.
that comment at the table certainly was part of that.
Yeah.
And it just the fact, and I love that she also sticks it to the godmother by taking the statue again.
Yeah.
It would be the person you'd least expect, and it's Claire. And I
Yeah,
love
that I
that.
think it's really good.
And also the cat. I love the cat. The cat's
Oh
adorable.
yes. My best part is Claire, the cat. I actually, and it is a best and worst part, but Olivia Coleman and the ass guy.
Ask guys
That
so funny.
interchange is hilarious. It's fucked up. It's wrong. I don't like it, but it's funny.
It's very funny. Ask guys hilarious.
Ass guy is hilarious, and he unintentionally so. So yeah,
He has this moment, and I feel even awkward bringing it up, but he has this moment where he's leaving the table to go do that human thing, that in which he refers to it literally just take a shit. And he leaves the table and he leaves the room, and they start talking about something else. I forget what they're talking about. And then he comes back. He's like, "Oh, you better not be talking about me." And he does that like funny
And they're
thing.
like,
They're
all
all
good
like
things.
politely laughing and saying all good things. He leaves the room again, and then not 2 seconds later, he pops back in. And it's like, and again, and they're like, ah, and they just do the polite thing, and then they go back to their awkwardness. It's
Yeah.
so funny. And this is a prelude to what's to come. The first episode of season two, when just in general, whenever this family unit is put into situations where they have to be polite to each other or polite to other people to save face, they're hilarious
Yeah,
every single time
because
because they
they
can put it on. They could put on the show, but then
in
underneath
a
all of that is
way.
just so much passive
It's called
aggressiveness.
subtext.
But when they have to do
By
it with
Calvin
like
Klein.
these other people in front of other people, like a stranger, it's very funny.
Yeah, it
And
is very funny.
I find it funny every single time.
Well, I mean, every family it has fucked up. I mean, we all do.
Well,
So
we certainly all
it's
do,
just
but
like,
I'm glad we don't have that level of fucked up.
oh no, not like that. So yeah, what were your worst parts?
In all caps, godmother.
Oh,
Absolutely not.
so awful.
Like, this isn't about you. This is about them remembering their dead mother and wife. I'm sorry that you're not the center of attention right now.
She doesn't know how to not be the center of attention.
I think if this was a normal situation and she wasn't such a raging bitch, I could understand her awkwardness during this moment because she is the other woman and it is about her, not her rival exactly, but her, someone who came before her and had a very big impact on all of these people's lives as
right.
their mother, as their wife, all of that stuff.
Right.
And so you're trying to fill the void, but you can't. And that's awkward for any stepmother, partner, any of that. However, the best way, I think, to deal with that is to let them do whatever they need to do to
right.
go through their grief. Maybe even excuse yourself.
Right. Say, I...
This is not... unless you have something nice to say about the wife. Or memories, again, considering she was her friend, she should have nice things to say about her.
Right, but at a minimum, like, if you feel like they need family time, take the afternoon and go somewhere else. Go mold someone's dick. Whatever it is that you do. But you don't need to be doing this.
Absolutely
not. You don't need to be sitting there being horrible to people. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think she wanted to keep control over the conversation being about around the mother. And I think that the reason that she's always around the dad is in front of the girls in particular. And we never really see many scenes without her in it. What that he is also in is so that she can control the conversation about herself. And so that she can be forward facing and all that stuff and make sure that they're not talking shit behind her back. And so she keeps him on a tight leash so that he can't form a different opinion about her.
Well, right. I mean, even in that brief conversation in the kitchen, you see that he is afraid that she's going to see he's messed up the canapes.
And he could have a good relationship with his daughter.
Right. But he's afraid that Olivia Colman's going to know that.
Oh, God forbid you have a good relationship with your daughter.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you, as, like, the new wife, think that that's a cool thing?
Yeah, I would think that's awesome.
It's awesome. This man is capable of having long-term good relationships with people.
With
awesome.
Women, even.
Yeah, yeah. So weird to me.
I don't understand it. But, you know, to be fair, I haven't been in that situation. So, obviously, I'm not a raging bitch like her, thank God. But
yeah, really.
I actually have empathy and sympathy. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just able to see it from a lot more sides than she can, obviously. But because of the TV
show. She can only see it from the, the gentleman's eye.
She's also just extremely self-centered. And so she doesn't really care what they're going through and only cares about how it reflects on her.
Well, and how everybody else sees her body on any given day. I mean, that's so insane to me. There's so much wrong with what is going on with this woman.
I had two more, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Father, what the fuck? If you see your partner, and I'm not going to harp on this too much, first of all, because my voice is tired, but if you see your partner or anyone in your life slap your child, seemingly unprovoked, or even if it's provoked, don't let that happen. Say something, at least. Stop it. Stop the situation. Or at least get more context about why that happened.
Yeah, hey, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, like, stop the interaction. Make sure that there's everything, nothing progresses. Like, if you see a fight, try to stop it.
Right. I mean, yeah, I can see not intervening in a fight, like, between
physically.
Complete strangers.
No,
you
no, no, no.
Whatever.
I'm
but
talking
this
about
is your family in your house.
Yeah.
I can't understand.
How do you have this lack of control?
He just is so weak. I
like,
mean,
you can't control
so
how they feel about each other or anything like that, but you can control if she slaps your child.
One would imagine, yeah.
Like, I just...
Like, that's unacceptable.
He's such a doormat. And also, he does not know how to talk to his children. And it's very, very unsettling.
Talk to anybody. It's really bad.
That's why she can control him so well. But
God,
I don't know.
Bad.
And also, Fleabag for giving away Claire's secret.
I didn't.
It's not that bad, but I mean.
There are things I don't like about Fleabag in this episode because, I regularly don't like Fleabag, but is that everything for you?
Well, I just wanted to say for Fleabag, it's kind of a double-edged sword because I think that it's bad. Is it bad that she gave away Claire's secret? Yes. But I also think that it is good that the show is showing us that she is admonishing herself for it and that she's starting to see the error of her ways and wanting to mend that sibling relationship. Like we saw at the beginning of the episode that she really wants to talk to Claire and that Claire's not talking to her and she really wants that to be mended. And she just almost ruined it with that. But thankfully, the godmother sucks. So.
It's pretty classic. So my worst parts were Olivia Colman. I think this is like, ugh, she's just awful. And the dad, I think, is terrible in this. And it's not because he isn't capable of being better. And I think that makes it worse to me. Like, you have the ability to be a better dad, and you just have chosen to suck. And that is just worse to me. So what grade did you give this episode?
I think I might give it a B plus. I think the reason why is because I like that this episode shows us that even though she wants to mend certain relationships, like she often likes to like make her dad uncomfortable and all that stuff, but she still wants to keep the memory of her mom alive and she has that connection there and she wants to mend her relationship with her sister and all that stuff. I think that's humanizing, but at the same time, it also helps us see that her support system is not supporting her the way that they should be. And not necessarily that they should always give her money for loans and stuff. She wasn't asking for it, but the fact that they're
But
not
she
even
might have been. Yeah, she
emotionally.
might be doing that passive aggressive thing
But
because I've seen that too.
either way, she is there. But the fact that they're not even emotionally supporting her in any particular way with the grief of her with her mom, the grief with Boo, they are her father does not chime in at all about her friend's death and.
No.
Like Claire gets upset that they even brought up the friend's death, which is correct. But it just, I don't know. I think it shows that she's even more lonely than we think. Because even when she has Claire, Claire's not always going to be there for her to answer her beck and call because she has her own life and her own problems and stuff like that. But even her family's system is completely falling apart because
Well, she
of.
doesn't have anything else. So I think, that kind of comes to hit ahead in the next episode. But I think that makes, I give this a B plus also. And I was not terribly articulate about my reasoning for it. I think for me, what is making this show better is that we're seeing the wink, right? Prior to the fourth episode, the self-awareness wasn't self-deprecating. You know what I mean? It was just kind of, I'm a hoe. And now it's becoming, I'm a hoe
With feelings.
because I'm self-destructive. And I know that's bad, right? It's one thing if you don't know better or you don't care.
He knows
But
better.
she knows better, and she is, it's obvious now that she's acting like it doesn't matter, but she knows that it does. And I think that is that glimmer of hope, which we can always, appreciate in any character, particularly main character. And given that this show has had not a lot of redeeming anything other than Claire. And Claire's fucked up. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, she's
I
so
mean,
fucked
she
up.
is seriously fucked up.
That's
And
why she needs to get her life in order.
you're an adult and you're still like doing weird braid stuff and like freaking out when your sister points it out to you. It's like, come on.
She is in many ways even as immature as
Oh,
Fleabag.
she
She
is.
it just comes out in different ways, which I love to see.
Right, in much more repressed ways,
Yes.
subtler ways.
Subtler ways and also more tightly wound ways.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll
Definitely.
see. We do see more of that in season two, but there are certain things when it comes to her sister, like for example, when they ring the doorbell when they're first going to the house, she's like, "You are standing so close to me. Get away from me." It's
Yeah.
just sister things, you know?
It's not just sister things,
No.
it's like people things.
There's some space.
Give me some space. Everybody needs some space. But that it there is truth in this show. I think sometimes the truth just isn't entertaining. That it's becoming more entertaining because again, there's that wink that you can see in there.
You call it wink. I think it's more vulnerability for me because you're seeing a little bit more of why she is the way she is and not just, oh, this is who she is. Because I feel like the first few episodes were just establishing what self-destructive bullshit she's on, and now we're getting you last episode and into these last few episodes of this season, we're seeing the why. It's
Yeah.
because her family's fucked up. It's because she has these horrible tendencies that weren't like worked out of her at any point. And she lets herself go into these spirals, and it's not good.
No, it's not good.
And I think the one vein we have not tapped currently is Boo. And because we've talked about her mom's death and her family life being shit and her romantic life being shit, but we have not tapped into what's up with the Boo thing. And she's obviously holding a lot of grief for that, as she should. It was her best friend.
We're gonna find out.
But we're going to see more.
We are. And that is why this show is
It reels you in.
it does reel you in, and it's also part of the reason the second season is better than the first season. But we're going to talk about that in the next episode, which is the last episode of season one. So we hope that you join us, and cheers.